Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
The Democratic National Convention heads into its second day in Chicago with former President Barack Obama, his wife Michelle, and Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff speaking later tonight. After an at times emotional speech last night, President Joe Biden and his family are spending the rest of the week on holiday in California. The focus now switches firmly to Kamala Harris and her running mate Tim Walz. I'm joined by Niall Stanage, who's White House columnist with The Hill, and Patty Shields, chair of Democrats Abroad now, to take a look at what's going to happen tonight and for the rest of the convention. Patty, if I may start with you, a month ago, and it's hard to believe, a month ago Joe Biden was the candidate. Last night he gave what you might describe as a farewell speech. What did you make of it?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to believe it's been less than a month, but I do believe it was a great night to kind of really celebrate the passing of the torch, and you know, certainly acknowledge the new energy and the new momentum that I think, you know, was part of the change of the ticket. So you know, I was a bit apprehensive before the evening, not sure if it was going to take a turn and be, you know, something a little bit more maudlin or sad. But it ended up, I think, being just a great platform to really celebrate the accomplishments, you know, of Biden's administration with Kamala Harris and create that narrative for, you know, her to take the baton and run forward.
A little birdie told me, Patty, that you stayed up all night watching the convention, which you must be given some medal for that alone. Can I put this to you, though? An awful lot of people applauding Joe Biden last night in the audience and feeling hopeful now about the hopes of Kamala Harris. Were not as hopeful about Kamala Harris a month ago. They were saying Joe Biden needs to go, but we're not sure about Kamala Harris.
Yeah, you know, I think, kind of more hardened Democrats and people who I think, you know, are much closer to the issue than even I am. I think there was a hesitation, mainly because of, you know, her previous presidential campaign and how she never quite found her footing. But I do believe, you know, she became a very viable candidate quite quickly. It definitely was, you know, raising money and, you know, creating all this energy around these constituent calls almost immediately. So it really kind of silenced all the critics and it didn't give an opportunity for another candidate to emerge. Well, and I think it's just been momentum after that.
Yeah,
you know,
silence the critics for the moment. I'll come to Niall in just a second, but President Obama will speak tonight and Kamala Harris's partner, her husband, Doug Emhoff as well. What do you think President Obama has to say, Patty? What do you want him to say to unite all of the Democratic forces behind Kamala Harris?
Yeah, I think he's going to come out. I think tonight is going to be a night of celebrating new energy. You know, the energy of this campaign feels a lot like the energy that was around Barack Obama in 2008. And I think he's going to create those parallels and those narratives. And he knows how to electrify an audience and a base. And I think he's going to speak, you know, to the youth. I think he's going to speak to the women. He's going to speak to the voters and the constituencies that really need to come out and make this happen. I think the narrative of her continuing to be an underdog is one they're going to continue to push to make sure that every voter, whether they're in a battleground state or, you know, something that doesn't seem battleground, but we need the House or the Senate seat, or even voters abroad, the message is going to be every vote counts. So let your vote be counted. And I think that's going to be a huge part of the narrative tonight is just building the energy around getting volunteers and getting those votes.
Okay,
in.
Stay with me, Patty Shields, chair of Democrats Abroad. Let's go to Chicago and Niall Stanage, who's White House columnist with The Hill, as they say. You're at the convention. What's the energy like there, Niall?
Oh, I mean, there's very high energy here, as one would expect. not least because Democrats thought, electorally speaking, they were dead and buried after President Biden's disastrous debate performance against former President Trump at the end of June. Then there was the whole Biden crisis. As you and your other guest have noted, Kamala Harris emerged as the nominee for that. And she has actually surpassed Trump in quite a few of the national polls now. So there's Democratic excitement around this event and around her candidacy. But of course, it's a self-selecting audience. The people who attend party conventions are obviously going to be excited by the party nominee.
And it's a honeymoon. It's a honeymoon period, isn't it, for Kamala Harris as well? The debate with Donald Trump is looming. And what if she doesn't hit the right note at the speech at the convention? I mean, what do people expect?
Well, I mean, I think people expect her to make the kind of arguments that are emerging as themes to her campaign. She often talks about freedom, for example, generally accompanied by the Beyoncé song of the same name. And she means by that economic freedom, the freedom for people to get ahead, but also reproductive freedom. The abortion rights issue is huge here. But to your point about the honeymoon period, I mean, it is quite remarkable that Kamala Harris has got so sustained a positive burst of media coverage, because certainly when she contested the Democratic nomination herself back in 2020, she was pretty underwhelming and emerged from that, I think, widely seen as quite a flawed candidate.
How do you think she'll survive the, and we're moving ahead from the convention now at the moment, but it's obviously talked about at the convention, I'm sure. How will she or could she survive a debate with Donald Trump?
Oh, I think she could survive for sure. And I actually think there are some pitfalls for Trump in that clash, not least his propensity for belligerence will be on display on a stage beside a black woman. And that is like problematic in all sorts of ways in terms of the dynamics of it. Harris is a former prosecutor, so she has experience in those kind of adversarial settings. I actually think the bigger problem for Kamala Harris is that there has long been a question mark over what exactly she believes. At one point, she was, as I say, a prosecutor and a somewhat centrist figure. Then she tilted to the left in that run for the Democratic nomination in 2020. Now she's abandoned some of those positions to shift back toward the center. I think that issue of authenticity could be problematic for her, for sure.
Patty, what can she point to as an achievement over the past 3.5 years?
Do you know, I mean, I think President Biden laid out a lot of the arguments last night. Just, you know, the fact that he's been a mentor to her and a critical partner to her on a lot of the bills that have really kind of driven the economy of the U.S. So inflation was kind of a very touchy point. It still is very much a kitchen table issue in the U.S. The numbers are going down. But I think the gun legislation that she pushed through, the fact she's been the tie-breaking vote on some key legislation that's been passed in the Senate and signed into law, with regards to, healthcare and keeping the costs of insulin down. I think Biden made the case last night that she's very much been a partner on those issues. We know where she's vulnerable. She's been very vulnerable on the issues of the border, which she was named to that border czar position. But I think over the next two nights, you're going to see, you know, her kind of use the foundation of where she has contributed to the Biden platform and where she wants to take her own agenda forward. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Okay, and she will receive a rapturous reception at the convention now when she does speak. But Hillary Clinton last night said that at the other side of that glass ceiling, she says, is Kamala Harris being sworn in as president. There's an opportunity now for huge progression in the US, the first black female president. But I wonder if the swing voters in the swing states are ready to grasp that opportunity.
So it's a great question. And what was notable to me in that Hillary speech was that she foregrounded the issue of Kamala Harris's potential barrier-breaking potential much more so than Kamala Harris does. I don't think that Harris is reluctant to do so necessarily because of sexism or misogyny. I think for that sliver of voters who are undecided, is it the definitive or the decisive issue. I'm not sure that it is. I'm not sure that people will vote for her simply because she is potentially the first female president. And obviously it didn't work out terribly well for Hillary Clinton when she did foreground that issue much more in 2016. Yes, she won the popular vote, but she lost the election. So I think Harris has been perhaps not exactly treading carefully around it, but taking it as that barrier breaking capacity is assumed and she therefore doesn't need to emphasize it herself.
Okay, watch out for the second gentleman, as he's called, Doug Emhoff, her partner as well, who'll speak tonight and has taken a year off from his professional work to undertake his official duties and will probably talk, as they call it, about their blended family and so on. It's an intriguing story. But let's see how it goes tonight at the Democratic Convention in Chicago. Niall Stanage and Paddy Shields, thank you both very much.